have found the Business Broker Growth Show with your host, Jason Cutter. This is the podcast for brokers who are ready to stop hoping for deals and start growing their pipeline. Our goal is to bring you strategies, stories, and insights that will be a catalyst to move you quickly from transactional deal makers to trusted advisors. Time for Business Broker Growth.
Hey everybody, Jason here, back with Marla DiCarlo. Marla, what did you think of that first segment that we did?
Loved it. Absolutely. I said you're excellent. You're an excellent podcast leader.
Well, I appreciate that. We were talking in the little gap and break there before we hit re-record on this. Is, you know, my previous podcast mode gave me a lot of experience of, I don't know the exact count of the number of hosted episodes that I've done over the years, but it's definitely a lot. And it's just fun. I think one of the things that is great for me, and I don't always show this during the recording, but I always am doing it if people see me writing, is I'm always taking notes, right? I know kind of what we're going to talk about, and I know the background, but I'm always just so curious and excited, like when you're saying stuff. And I think, you know, as a host, if I'm excited for the conversation, then, you know, it makes it easy and fun. And then just let you do what you do and share what you share. So.
Yeah. Well, like I just said, you know, we do take for granted what we know. Anybody that's an expert in their industry, I encourage them to share, because they probably know a lot more than they think they do. And we don't know. So share, educate.
You know, it's interesting, because I actually, you know, on that basis, and then we'll get to the rest of it, but this is always fun in after shows, because you never know what's going to come up. So I actually was at a doctor's appointment yesterday just for a checkup, and we were going through, you know, blood test results and that kind of stuff. So it was pretty easy. And we were just talking about health. And it's funny, because here's this doctor, he's a younger doctor. And we're talking about health, and we're talking about like stuff like that. And I'm telling him about this book and this other thing. And he's like, no, I've never heard of that. He had heard about some stuff, but not. And I literally, it was like a 15-minute appointment where I'm like teaching this doctor about some other stuff. And then he's teaching me, and we're just going back about nothing to do with, you know, the actual appointment anymore. To that point, like, I was like, how do you not know this book? But I forget, like, you know, everyone knows different things.
Yeah. So awesome. So now you just helped him, hopefully, in his practice. And
and health-wise, and you just never know. And you know, when I think about what you do, and as brokers in particular, it's one of those things where, you know, especially if you've done as long as you have, especially for someone like you on the CFO accounting side, like, again, going back to what I referenced in the first segment was about seeing the matrix. It's really tough if you can see the matrix, because you just assume everyone can, and you just run on autopilot and then make assumptions and just think like, if I can see it, you can see it. But it turns out most people can't, especially if you have a, I'm going to say, specialized skill like you have. I was going to say abnormal, but it's not like everyone has an abnormal thing, but like you have a specialized thing that most people can't see, right? Like you have that background and experience that's not typical for the business owners that you're dealing with, or even other brokers.
It definitely helps me to be, you know, good at what I do. And also, I think adding more value to my clients, you know, like I would say, I can do a sniff test on the balance sheet. Mm-hmm. I look at a balance sheet, I'm like, yeah, that's not right. There's something wrong here.
Curious on that, because this has come up a few times in conversations I've had with brokers who are very industry focused, right? Yeah. They're specific on an industry. They know this one industry, which means over time they can look at balance sheet or financials or information on that business, and they know enough about the industry to know if it's in line or not, right? Like, without even looking across a wide section, they just know the industry and the metrics and what matters. Like, where does that play in with more of a generalist on your side, and even your team, and what you saw before with Brain Catchers, where like there's things that stand out no matter what, but then it's also difficult because every industry is maybe playing a slightly different variation of the same game.
What comes to mind is one of the topics we talked about during the podcast, which is, I think it was hack number one, don't skip on the information gathering stage. So when you are a generalist, you have to make sure that you do your research and learn, you know, about that industry. If it's an industry you're not as knowledgeable in. When somebody asks me, have you done this industry before? Normally I could say yes, because of my CFO background, right? I've worked with a lot of industries. So I do know a lot. I've been very well-rounded. Here's an example of where I needed to learn. When I came into Raincatcher, I had never, ever in my career been in a position to need to know marketing ever. Mm-hmm. Because why would an accountant need to know marketing, right? I mean, I knew sales. I'm certified in, you know, teaching classes on sales and all that. But marketing, I didn't know the difference between a landing page and a website and, you know, pay-per-click and analytics. And so I had to rely, this is, again, we talked about this. I had to rely on the experience around me and be very mindful to not say the wrong thing because I thought I knew something because I'm the CEO of the company. And of course they're going to listen to me. So I actually had to perfect that skill of one, learning, two, asking the right questions, three, surrounding myself with smarter people than me and knowing that. And then figuring out how to still make the right decisions for the company. So in turn, I think that's where a broker, if they really don't feel like that they know enough to be able to handle that industry, say so. Don't just fake it. You know, but, you know, if you are going to take that on because you feel comfortable, make sure you know the terms, make sure you know the multiples, make sure you know the buyers, you know, do your homework before you commit to something.
And I think there's I like that last part that you said about doing the homework before you commit to something, doing the homework and understanding it, and don't go in blind and reckless. And it's okay to have a certain level of what just popped in my head as professional humility, which is, I know a lot of things, but I don't know this industry or your size of a business in this industry. And so help me understand so that I know how I can help you, right? And if you approach it the right way, and again, you're not just like, hey, I've never heard of a roofing company before, so why don't you tell me like how this works? And like, that's not gonna go well. But you do it in the right way, people are happy to educate you and share and then talk about their beautiful baby that they think is the prettiest baby in the world. And they're happy to tell you about it and then, you know, just collect info, ask questions, be curious.
Well, and then, you know, I'll dovetail off of that. One of the things I am very good at is my industry. So, you know, sometimes even though I have worked with a lot of different industries, what I'll tell the business owner is, I'm not as knowledgeable in this industry as I probably am in like X, Y, and Z. However, I'm very good at what I do. I understand your business. I can see the story. I know the pitch. I know the buyers I'm looking for, you know, so that, but I'll tell them I need to do, to be honest, before I commit to this, I need to do a little more research just so I can feel comfortable that I can be as good as a broker that does specialize in this. And the last thing I'll say is I am one of those brokers that I don't mind making that referral. If I'm not the right fit, I'll tell the business owner, I'm not the right fit for this, but I have somebody and let me introduce you.
And I think that's great. I think the mindset is important because if you're willing to do that, if it's not something that's ideal or something you can be the most valuable expert at, then that means when you do tell someone, yes, I am the person, then you mean it because you're also willing to tell them, no, I'm not the right person. And that's even if that situation doesn't come up very often, the fact that you're willing to do it, I've found is the difference maker with somebody who's going to be a professional and do things right. So let's dive into these questions because now I'm super curious of what you're going to say based on all that, which was unplanned. That's the fun part of the after show is you just never know what's going to happen as we kind of segue into this. Is in the world of business brokerage intermediaries, what do you think brokers are going to need to survive in 2030, 2031, in 5 years or so?
First thing that comes to mind is AI. Yeah, I mean, you've got to know tools, and you've got to know how to utilize them to, you know, stay relevant, I guess, is what comes to mind.
Yeah.
I mean, things are going to be very different in 2030 than they are today in just 4 years because of AI and the way technology is evolving. I've got, it's funny. I won't go down too many rabbit holes here, but I have a cybersecurity son who was sharing with me that ChatGPT was hallucinating and doing some different things and giving wrong information. I'm like, see, that's interesting, because I use, as a broker, I use that information more to just help me formulate my thoughts versus it is not the expert. So when it pops out something, I'm like, no, wrong. This is what I meant. And it's more just help me communicate this, because that used to take me a long time to do, because a lot of this information is stuff that the business owners I'm dealing with, they don't understand. They've never heard before. So
yeah,
staying relevant.
Yeah. I think it's big. It's the next question is, what's the number one tech shift coming to M&A? Which you could have a different answer for that, for the tech shift. But I think what's fascinating to really think about that as well is if we think of 5 years from now, what's going to be important and what it's going to take to survive and be successful as a business brokerage. And then we think of, like, what would somebody have said 5 years ago for 2026 without even knowing that AI was going to do what it did? Like, it's always there. It's always something that's been talked about. It's always that the future. But like 5 years ago, it wasn't a practical thing that people could use. And so now it's fascinating as a thought exercise to think, okay, like, based on what we didn't know that would happen now, what is that going to look like in 5 years? And then what's the part that brokers have to play? So if you think of like a tech shift, anything else come to mind, or is it just still in that same bucket of, you know, AI and utilizing it? Before a seller ever speaks to you, they look you up. They scan your name, they search your LinkedIn, they read your last few posts, and in about 60 seconds, they decide whether you feel like a trusted advisor or just another broker. Most brokers never see that moment, but it happens every day. That's why we built the Digital Impact Assessment. It's a structured evaluation of how your online presence actually shows up in 4 ways: authority, positioning, visibility, and engagement. And if you want to know what sellers are seeing before they book a call with you, just remember, you can't improve what you don't measure. All right, now back to this amazing conversation.
I go back to tech as a whole. I'm going to give you an example and we can end with this probably. So in 2016, when we were doing the, you know, pay-per-click, the advertising with, you know, online, I would go to IBBA or ACG or whatever, and everybody, you know, how do you find your leads? And I can remember this and saying, well, we were doing, you know, pay-per-click. Well, that will never work. That's ridiculous. That will never work. and I would walk away from that conversation going, huh, well, we generated 300 leads this month. So, you know, so I say that joking, you know, but that's what we're talking about. So don't be behind the curve. And I think technology, you have to understand that technology is going to play a part in how we service our clients, the accuracy of it, how we find buyers. It's going to change. Mm-hmm. And so staying up to date with that is going to be very important. If you're old school and still handing out cards and still only focusing on golfing and, you know, taking them to lunch, those are great human things to do and you should do it, but you better have technology in place.
And I think what's interesting, before we move to the next question, is that using your reference, right, like the 2016 pay-per-click, that's never going to work. That's not what we do in this industry. That's what insurance companies do, or somebody else, but we're dealing with business owners and baby boomers and they're never going to do that, right? And so we think about that. And then we think about people who, you guys did it, Raincatcher kind of set the tone for that. I know that I know from PPC and paid digital ads and all that stuff, is that if you're not careful and you're not skilled and you're not willing to invest in it, you will lose a lot of money trying to be successful in that. Right.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing now where it's like, oh, well, it's AI and like, okay, let me just jump on this. It's like, you could also lose a lot by not investing and being, you know, aware or having an expertise in it, or, you know, being careful with it and just being reckless. Right. Like I've attempted to run enough Facebook ad campaigns for my own self over the years to know that you can't just dabble in stuff like that. Nor can you just dabble in stuff like this.
Well put. And I 100% agree with you. You still have to rely on the experts to make sure that you're doing it the right way. What you just said, oh, I hope people listen to that. You can spend so much money, wasted money, like literally just flush it down the toilet if you're not doing it the right way.
Yeah. With any technology, right? Like people think, oh, well, it's not that much. But like, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, time, money, energy, you know, the branding, digital press. Like there's all kinds of stuff that could go sideways, not just spending money on it. So, all right. So let's talk to the next question. And so we're recording this beginning part of 2026. What was like biggest lesson from 2025 for you?
So the biggest lesson. So first off, what comes to mind is 2020. I'm sure I didn't coin this phrase, but I've been referring to 2025 as the decision paralysis year. I was like, oh my gosh, I thought we just finished COVID. Like it was too much change for everybody. And that I'm not getting political. It was too much change. Everybody was like, oh, I don't understand what's going to happen next. And so, what happened is that first quarter was so quiet. And I couldn't get anybody to move forward. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? And I actually, if I'm just being transparent, I started kind of questioning, is it me? Am I doing the wrong things? Like, why is this happening? What I learned is not to isolate myself. And once I started asking peers, hey, are you experiencing the same stuff I am? Everybody was.
Okay, so then let's talk about that. So the next question is what are you excited most for 2026? Making decisions, taking action, I'm guessing. What does that look like for you?
I'm excited for 2026 because I think it's going to be a different year than what we've had recently. So when you so without going deep into all of this, if you go back 2020, 2021, COVID, 2022 was post-COVID, post-COVID. Then 2022 and three, both actually. Then 2024, you know, we had all these world events and changes in our country and blah, blah, blah. And then that just, you know, carried on forward into 2025. I'm really hoping 2026 things will settle down, that we'll have a more of a norm. And I use air quotes. I don't know what that norm looks like, but I'm hoping for the small business community, it will finally feel more settled. Like just, okay, we're okay.
I agree. I think that timeline makes sense, right? Because 2024 was an election year and there's a lot of hesitation and concerns going into an election. Who's going to win? What rules are going to change? You know, either party is has a different effect on small business. And so then 2025, it's like, well, many small businesses were like, okay, well, Republicans here. And then the tariff thing happened. And then it's like, okay, now what's going to happen? And the rules change all the time. And then like, and many small businesses might not live and die based on products that get hit by tariffs, but the economy as a whole is concerned and the business community is concerned. And so then that causes everyone to kind of like hold their breath and wait, which then has this trickle down. And I think you're right. Like this year, pending anything, you know, the dramatic that could pop up, it's more of like, okay, now we know what to expect. This is the current norm, and let's just rock and roll kind of a mode.
Yeah, I really hope so. Small business needs it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think we could all just use a year. I mean, nothing is ever easy in small business, but boy, wouldn't it be nice to just like okay, we're all right.
Like it makes me think of the expression they say about life is you're either going through a storm, you just got done with a storm or there's a storm coming. But like, you know, everybody is going through that mode where either something just happened in life or that something is coming and they're kind of in that in-between phase. And I think that's, you know, that's this year is the in-between, right? Like, who knows, but like, hopefully just, you know, business as usual. All right, so last question on here is, if you could wave a magic wand and have one marketing type thing done for you automatically, where you don't have to do it or deal with it, what would you pick for that magic wand genie wish?
No, I mean, what comes to mind is I hope to have better automation in place for following up and nurturing my leads. That takes time to do that the right way. Like you said, you put a lot of money into it, but there's a wrong way and a right way.
Yeah,
so if I get that done, I would be so happy. So,
all right, that's good. Now that is doable. Some people bring up stuff like it's not doable and that's going to take a lot of work, but that one's definitely, so we'll have to just keep making those wishes, you know, send it that way. Hopefully this year is a year where you can, you know, business as usual, no more decision paralysis, like you said, and you know, those kind of things come line up for
us. I have one more thing that I thought of. Yeah. I'll add. I'm really hoping with technology that will make it easier, and it is. There are ways to do that, to record things like real time. So, you know, like when I hear something, I'm like, oh, I've got an idea around that, you know, to be able to just record it and just have it done the right way, like not having to spend 3 hours editing and, you know, getting it uploaded, like, because there's so much value in that. We are in the age of information, like, you know, people want to know. So the more you can get out there, the more relevant you're going to be.
And there's always that balance of like how candid and how raw is okay, especially professionally. I know what you mean, where it's just like, this is amazing, I just want to capture this. And then how do you make that go out to all the places you need? For sure. That makes sense. We should definitely talk. Might be some ways to help. Well, Marla, I appreciate you being here still, you know, after shows. It was a great conversation. I love these talks because you never know where it's going to go and the kind of stuff that comes up and the ideas. So I appreciate you for being on here, spending so much time. We're now way over what we kind of guessed would be, but it's been so valuable. So Marla, I appreciate you being on here. And for anyone who didn't catch part one for some reason, please go back and check part one, listen to that, watch that. Everything will make a lot more sense leading up to this. Also, Marla's links are going to be in the show notes for how to reach out to her, how to find her online. The website is biznavigators.com. So biznavigators.com. You could also just Google Biz Navigators, again with a Z, Marla DiCarlo. You'll find her on LinkedIn, on YouTube, and all the content and all the stuff. But again, Marla, thanks for being here and sharing so much with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate your time as well. It was a good time.
Yes, I enjoyed it. And for everyone out there, hope you got value from this. Part one, part two. I got people who reach out to me all the time who are like, I actually love part two the most, the after show, because it's, you know, these kind of things that just kind of come up. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. Make sure to subscribe and follow this and watch it wherever you can or listen on the podcast streams. And as I say, until next time, thanks for stop hoping for deals and start growing your pipeline. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Business Broker Growth Show, hosted by Jason Cutter. If today's episode helped you think differently about how to build your pipeline and grow your business, share it with another broker who's ready to make the shift from hoping for listings to engineering them. Join us again for the next episode of the Business Broker Growth Show, where brokers become trusted advisors.